Turn with me into the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. We'll be reading Luke's account, and then also we'll be reading John's account of the events there on that morning of resurrection, or at least the time when they came and found out that the resurrection had already taken place. And I don't want to say any part of the Scripture is more important than the other, or any doctrine is more important than the other, but the doctrine of the resurrection is the hinge on which everything else stands or falls. If there is no resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are still in our sins, and there is no salvation. I know the virgin birth is very important. It's a must doctrine. I know the sinlessness of our Lord is important. It is a must. But the resurrection of our Lord, without a doubt, to the world, His world, proved that He was what He said He was. That He was who He said He was. He was the Son of God that came down from glory. So in these verses that we'll read this morning, we'll be looking at the account given by Luke, and then also in the Gospel of John. Chapter 24, verse number 1 of Luke. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was with you yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with the men, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Turn over now to the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. John chapter number 20 gives you the same account, just a different view. The Gospels are four men writing under the inspiration that God uses their personality and uses some of the things that they knew and uses that to write their message. And each one of them give a different aspect of the many stories that are given to us in the Scripture. And we have here in John chapter 20, it says, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, to the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and she runneth and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. By the way, that was none other than John the Apostle. And said to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own house. These verses that are given in Luke and also John are also given in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 says, "He is not here, he is risen, as he said." Jesus said, "You destroy this temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days." Mark tells us in verse number 6 of chapter 16, he saith to them, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." So we have the scene given to us by four different visions of these men that are the writers of the gospel, and they said, every one of them said, "He's not here. He is gone." I'm sure you have heard some of the reports that I've heard, that there are those that have claimed to have found the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bones that they found reveal some things about the Lord. I got news for you. There's no bones of the Lord in the tomb because He's alive. He arose again the third day, and that's what we celebrate this morning. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, He that died upon the cross of Calvary. All you have to do is walk through the pages of the Bible, and you'll find a Lord that is going to die. You'll find a sacrifice that is going to be given. By faith, we may have never been to that place that is called the Holy Land that's in turmoil today. We may have never taken our steps where Jesus stepped, and we may never do that. But I'll tell you, by faith, we that are believers, we have been there, and we realize what took place upon Mount Calvary. We realize there on the place they call the place of the skull, Golgotha, there the Son of God was crucified, and there He died, and they laid Him in a borrowed tomb. Really, there is no such thing as the tomb of Jesus, because He did not own a tomb. He borrowed a tomb because He was just going to be there for those 3 days and three nights, those 72 hours that the Scripture gives us that He was in the heart of the earth and the resurrection that came forth. As we read there in Luke chapter 24, they found the stone that was rolled away. They entered in, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they found the linen clothes, they found the napkin, they found everything there except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here, but He is risen, Luke chapter 24 and verse number 6. Praise the Lord, He was not there. And you and I this morning, we are remembering what took place that day some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died on a cross, took our place and died for us, giving us an opportunity whereby we can believe upon Him, and He is alive, and the Bible says He's in heaven making intercession or pleading our case before God. All the other gods, as I said earlier, they are gone. They have a place where they bow down to, and their followers will go to, and they'll look to the tomb of whoever that religious leader was that they consider a god. But we do not do that. We don't go to a tomb that is full. We go to a place that is empty. He is not found there. And some will look into the tomb and find nothing and see nothing. And nothing will affect them at all. But you and I this morning, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look and we will find some things there that is left for us that we could follow and trust Him as our Savior. The Bible says they found the grave clothes. They looked at those linen clothes that was wrapped around the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read our passages of Scripture this morning, very early in the morning, those ladies were going and they had prepared spices. They had prepared what was common for that day, and the ritual of that day. They would anoint the body. They would apply the spices to the body, and that's where they were going. It says on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came bringing the spices which they had prepared. And as they came, they were going to take care of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ like was supposed to be taken care of. But when they get there very early in the morning, now, I know we talk about the sunrise and the sunrise services, but there was no service there that day because He was not there very early in the morning. He was already arisen. He had already arose from the dead. And they come early in the morning to go through that burial process, but they did not find the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You and I, we better be glad this morning they did not find His body, because He had been crucified, He was buried. I can get a lot of stuff I'm not going to this morning. He was buried, and 3 days and three nights later, He arose again. Praise the Lord. Now you go from wherever you want to count your time, and you go back 72 hours, you're going to pass Friday real quick. Friday is not the day of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a good Friday then, it's not a good Friday now. Just do some math on that. You'll find out it's far different. But the most important thing we need to recognize this morning, that He's alive. He arose from the dead. And He's alive right now, just as alive as you and I are, only He's seated in the glories. He's seated in the heavens. He's seated beside the Father in heaven at the right hand of God. And He's praying for us. He's making intercession for us. Now, as these ladies came and they saw the stone was rolled away, they entered in and they did not find the body of the Lord. As Peter and John went, they looked in. And John, he just looks in. He didn't go in at first. Bless his heart, Peter, he runs up there and he comes in behind John and he goes into the tomb. It's not a grave like we have. It was a tomb like a cave. Had plenty of room, and he goes in there and he finds the grave clothes of the Lord, and he finds the napkin that's folded over apart from those grave clothes. Somebody says, is that important? You bet your life that's important. They did not find the body, but they found the grave clothes that were empty, and they found that napkin that was folded up. If I'd have thought, I'd have brought a napkin this morning. We'll say this is a napkin. When they go in that tomb, they see the crumpled grave clothes. But over away from that, they find a napkin that's folded very neatly. Somebody says, what does that represent? Many of you know this. But in the Middle Eastern culture of that day, when a man would sit down with his family, he would have his meal, and his napkin would be beside his plate. He's at the head of the table. And he would eat his meal, and he'd take care of his face and probably his beard. And he would take that napkin as he had used it, and when he was finished eating, he'd just toss it over to the side. That's not what Jesus did. Very significant for those Jews to understand this. Everything in the Scripture is there for a purpose. It's not just to take up space. It's not just to be words on a paper, but it's there for a reason. So we find when you walk into the tomb, you find the napkin of the Lord. It's not all crumpled up over there and like they normally would do it after a meal. Because in that crumpled up napkin, the words were to the people that were their servants. When they saw that napkin all ruffled up and thrown over, that meant they were finished with their meal. They would not be back to do anything else. But if that goodman of the house, or that husband, if he was sitting there and he had eaten his dinner, his lunch, whatever it was, and he took his napkin and he neatly folded it up again, and he laid it over there like that, the servants of the household knew, don't bother anything because He's coming back. They knew when they saw that napkin, He's coming back. You and I this morning, when we look at that and you know the history and you know the procedures that took place in those Far Eastern countries, it gave a message to the world that He's not done. He's coming back. He's coming back first time 3 days later. He's not gone. He's not going to. It's not all over. He's not dead. He's not going to deteriorate. He's not going to decay. He's coming back. This morning we commemorate that coming back. That He arose from the dead. The grave couldn't hold Him. The world could not hold Him. He laid the napkin over there all neatly folded, and that told those disciples, that told those ladies, they understood He is coming back. And you and I this morning, some 2,000 years later, you know what it still tells us? He's coming back. It's not over yet. We may think it is, but He's coming back and He's going to take care of it and things are going to be well. But it's all because of the resurrection. They did not find His body. They found the crumpled clothes, the linen clothes, and they found that napkin laid over there neatly by itself, stating to them, I will return. I'm glad this morning when I look into the tomb, I see that by eye of faith, and I realize and I know that He's coming. He's coming back for me. But there's some other things that if you and I will go to in our eye of faith and our imagination, if we'll take that trip to the graveside, if we'll go there, there's some things that we can find also. We can find, because of the empty tomb, we can find the grace of God. He gave Himself that I might have life and liberty. He tells me to come boldly to the throne of grace. I came one day and I found saving grace. You that are believers this morning, we found saving grace. He saved us by His grace. We dealt with this morning and have for some time in our Sunday school this thing of salvation and this thing of in the book of Galatians we've been preaching through that salvation is totally of God, nothing that man has to do with it. It's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Scripture tells us that He is the one that has given us grace. The Bible says that He has gone to prepare a place that we would believe upon Him, that one day we shall be with Him. And we'll be there. I found saving grace. Thank God I found living grace. I live and have my abiding in Him and trust Him. And the Scripture tells us that we are living for the Lord and He lives within us. And He is that one that has come within our heart and has made us a new creature in Christ. And we are born again by the Spirit of the Lord. That's living grace. There's also another grace that we must face and we must have. And it's called dying grace. We're not going to live forever. We're not going to be here for eternity. We're dying. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice, hope in the glory of God. Romans 5:21 says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, sin has been over us and sin reigns over us until death. But then, thank God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He reigns through eternal life. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You go and you look at cemeteries. You go and you go to funeral homes. We go through that continually. We have done that the last 2 weeks more than we've ever done it before. And you're faced with this thing of death all the time and everywhere. But thank God for grace that God gives us to face that, because He is not in the tomb. He is alive forevermore. You find Stephen in the New Testament as they stone him just simply because of his belief in Jesus Christ, and they stone him, and he uses almost the same words as Jesus does, and he says, Father, don't lay this to their charge. They don't understand what they're doing. You find dying grace with the Apostle Paul as he is in that Roman prison awaiting death. He said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He tells that young preacher Timothy in the books that in the letters that he wrote to Timothy, he said, I'm ready to be offered. That's dying grace. You come to that point in your life when you know time is short and you know time is growing. Oh, and as a believer, God gives us that grace. Somebody said, I don't know how I could ever experience certain things that people do. We don't have to know how to experience it because we haven't been there yet. Up until just a few years ago, I could not tell somebody how they felt when they lost their mother or when they lost their dad. I can tell them that now. I've been there.
I cannot tell someone, I know how you feel, if you've lost a child. I have not been there. Don't want to go there. We'll never know how a person feels until we've been there. The old Indian saying, I never know how you feel until I've walked in your moccasins. And how true that is. But I'm glad, thank God, when I go to the end of my life and the end of the road for me, I'm glad, thank God, He gives us grace. He gives us not only saving grace, He gives us serving grace. He gives us leaving grace or dying grace. That's what I found at the empty tomb. If you're a believer this morning, that's what you found. You found the same kind of grace. Not only that, thank God we found mercy. Mercy is that which the Lord has given to us, and therefore He does not condemn us. He saves us by His wonderful grace. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. Mercy. We've always heard people say, I do not deserve this. What I deserve is hell. How true that is. You and I this morning, we don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell because we're sinners. And the soul that sinneth, the law says, shall die. But I'm glad Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He finished the law. He didn't abolish it. He just fulfilled it. And so therefore, when He died on Calvary, He offered mercy to those that would come to Him and believe upon Him. And by mercy, He gives us release. By mercy, He gives us a way of escape that we do not have to die. We do not have to suffer. We do not have to go to hell. Thank God He came and He arose again that I might have life with Him. I found mercy. When I got saved, I found the way. For He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes except by the Father. Matthew says in Matthew chapter 7, enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be. Many there be which go in. But then He says, because strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Thank God we found it. Thank God by His grace He gave us opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, we didn't have to hear salvation's message. We could have been born somewhere around the world that would never, 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 never hear the name Jesus Christ. We could be born in a country that would be foreign idolatry to what we know as truth, and we would maybe never hear the gospel. Oh, but I'm glad by His mercy, by His grace, by His long-suffering, I have the way that has been given to me, and I have life because that tomb is empty. You notice, they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Very early in the morning they came before the sun arose, and the stone has already been rolled away. And He's not there. Sometime in that darkness of the night, Jesus arose and the stone's rolled away. Somebody said, why'd they have to? He didn't have to roll away the stone. He could have got out without rolling away the stone. But they couldn't get in to find out if it hadn't been rolled away. Because it was sealed. When the Roman government put a person in a tomb, they sealed that tomb. They especially sealed this one because they said, we don't want anybody to steal away the body of the Lord. And the Jews said, we don't want anybody to steal away this body claiming that He has arose from the dead. So they seal it and they put a guard at the tomb. But yet He's not there. He didn't have to have the tomb open for Him to leave. But they had to have the tomb open so they can go in and say, He's not here. No longer. I'm glad I know the way, the truth, the life. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our way is not in some organization. Our way is not found in some religion. You know what I think about religion. I'm glad my way is not in religion. I'm glad my way is not anything the world has to offer. And by the way, Could somebody tell me something good the world has to offer spiritually? Anything? This whole world out here, what can it offer us spiritually? Not one thing. So my way is not found in committees and clubs and ways and all that. It's not in religion. I don't care how many times they read their Bible. I don't care how many times they bow. I don't care how many times they do religious activity. My way is not found in religion. My way is found in Christ. He and He alone. The critics of that day said, we're going to make sure he stays in the tomb. He was not there. How foolish God must have thought man was to say, we'll lock him in a tomb with a rock. Well, he is the rock. How foolish it must have been to God to realize that we're going to put a guard there. He'll not escape us. Well, he escaped them. They didn't even know he'd gone. How foolish it is for man to think he can outmaneuver God. I have found my rest. When I go into the tomb, I looked and there's nothing there. Just the crumpled up grave clothes. Just the napkin. Just the slab of rock that they lay him on. It's there. But he's not there. And because he's not there, I have found life. I have found liberty. I have found the blessings of the Lord. And thank the Lord, I found rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your what? Souls. He didn't talk about the body. He said, you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. We all labor. We're at labor. We have problems. There have difficulties everywhere. We are troubled on every hand. Despair comes to us. And Jesus said, come to me. I'll give you rest. I don't know anything better at the end of the day that's been trying. Maybe not physical. But you've gone through the stress of the day and the stress of the week, and I don't know of anything better than just laying your head down and just resting. Just to know that I have some peace. Well, I'm glad God gave me that, spiritually speaking, because there's no body in the tomb. He's not there. He is alive, and he's coming back. It's not over yet. The story's not finished yet. Because he laid it there and John's Gospel mentions the napkin. I can just sort of imagine the Apostle John with his demeanor that we find in the Scripture. He never calls himself by name. He writes the Gospel of John and he's always that disciple that's unnamed. He's not a prideful man. He doesn't want any spotlight on him. And so those two disciples ran, and the other disciple outran Peter. That's John. John, he looks in the opening of the tomb, and he sees the grave clothes. He sees the neck. Surmising here. I just sort of think with John's personality and John's attitude, I sort of believe I can maybe in my mind's eye see John smile. When he sees that napkin and he smiles in his heart and he says, he's coming back. You notice the disciples were distraught because they didn't understand that Jesus had to die. That's one of the hardest things for me to understand the Scripture. Why did his disciples not know that he was going to die? Because he told them time and time and time again. They just could not grasp it. Even our verses this morning, they were perplexed. They just did not know. And I sort of think John, when he saw that napkin, he said, He's coming back. It's not over. You and I this morning, this old world is in a terrible, terrible shape. But you know what? It's not over. He's coming back. I have found peace for my soul. If you're a believer this morning, you have found peace for your soul. We find rest. Oh, but thank God we find life. Life eternal. And he that taketh not his cross and falleth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:38. I have found life. What kind of life, preacher? Well, I'll put all the adjectives you want to put there. Well, I found abundant life. I found a good life. I found a blessed life. I found a rewarding life. Just life. Life that God gives. I found place that one day I shall be. I found peace with my Lord and peace with my God. Peace with God, peace in God, peace of God. Nothing like being saved. Nothing like knowing I'm going to heaven. You know, for the most part this morning, there are churches across our country that are preaching messages, some good, some not so good probably. But sitting in the congregation, and it may be so this morning here, that we sit under the preaching of the gospel and salvation, and we come to the point of saying, I sure hope I go to heaven. When the empty tomb tells us we can know we're going to heaven. Well, I'm trying my best to get there. I'm doing all I know to do. You don't know enough. Oh, and you can't do enough. Because salvation is an experience that comes from God to man, and it's in His finished work. I said in Sunday school this morning, when God finished creation, by the way, I believe in 7 literal days of creation. And when God finished His work, He says, good. Oh, He says, very good. He finished. And on the 7th day, what did He do? He rested. Now, He didn't rest because He is tired. Well, He said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't have to work on that. He said, let the trees bring forth fruit, and guess what? It's no chore for the Lord. But He rested to show us that everything was finished, and He rested. Now, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, one of the last words Jesus said as He hung there, the nails through His hands, through His feet, the crown of thorns on His head, His facial features were so mired, they didn't even look like a human. Read the account. I got it this week and read it again. The account of a medical doctor that tells you what happens to the body that goes through what Jesus went through. He didn't even look like a person. And as He was hanging there, He cried out with a loud voice, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And then the Scripture says that in the middle of the day, the lights went out. And there's darkness over the entire face of the earth. If God can say, let there be light, God can turn them out. And in that period of time, the plan and the work of redemption and the sacrifice was being made, and Jesus was dying. And then a little bit later, He cries with a loud voice. In the Greek, it's only one word. But we have it translated in our Scripture. It is finished. God finished creation and He rested. Jesus finished redemption. I can rest. I can have rest now. I have peace with God. I have the wonderful Lord that lives in me. So when He finished it, that work of redemption, I can have rest. Now that napkin said, redemption may be finished, but I'm coming back. Praise the Lord, He's coming back. 3 days and three nights later, there, I believe, this is just me, you can believe what you want to, I believe on a Wednesday, what we would call Wednesday afternoon, Jesus, Wednesday day, He was crucified. That afternoon, He died. And before the darkness came upon, as tradition was, had to be put in the tomb before dark. And you count 3 days, you have to count the nights first. See, we get things mixed up. We count day, night. We all count night, day. Three nights. You got Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. You got 3 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And on the first day of the week, about the dawning or the starting of a new day, I believe 72 hours approximately from the time He died, He was alive. Because I just believe the Scripture. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Count it any way you want to. But that day, that morning when they went to the tomb, early in the morning. It's still dark. Well, they could have gone at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Very early in the morning, they went and it's empty. But they find that napkin. I'm coming back. Praise the Lord. He came back. 3 days, three nights, they saw Him. The old Thomas, he wasn't present at Sunday night service. And Jesus appears. They're in that upper room. He didn't knock on the door. He appeared. And the disciples tell Thomas, said, Thomas, he's alive. We saw Him. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. That's why we call him doubting. He said, I'm not going to believe it. Well, if you'd have been there, Thomas, you'd have believed it. So, 1 week later, first day of the week, Sunday night service, guess what the Lord does? He takes care of Thomas's doubt. And He appears again, and He says, Thomas, see, Thomas had said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see the prints of the nails in His hand and thrust my hand into His side. I got to see it to believe it. And so when the Lord came, the Lord knew what Thomas had in his heart. And so the Lord said, Thomas, come here. Put your hands in the print. Put your hand in the scar. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He believed then. You know what the Lord said to him? He said, blessed are they that believe without seeing. You know who that is? I've never seen the Lord, but I believe. I've never seen His hand scars. I've never seen His side that was scarred by the sword. I've never seen the piercing on His forehead. And can you imagine the blood that came forth? You just prick your head up here just a little bit and see what happens. A few years ago, Sharon fell at our house in the middle of the night and cut right through here, cut one of those main arteries there. we had a problem. Blood everywhere. And can you imagine how he looked? I've never seen that. But I believe. Thomas, blessed are they that see not and they believe. This morning, what do we find? What have you found? Or have you found anything in the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ? Just an individual will find nobody. Just a regular person will find crinkled up clothes. Just a regular person will find a folded napkin that they don't understand what it's all about. But you and I that believe, that have never seen, we have found the Lord. His grace, His mercy, His love, His life. We have just simply found the Lord. Praise God, He's alive. Let's stand together this morning.